You want a war? You're gonna get one.
Now get the guns, the drugs, to my generation, you'll take the fall. The saints will come from nations, and it's a sex. The gods, the freaks, the frauds, they're messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out. Move to my music, play fucking music. Live through my music, yeah.
Hey yo, episode 183 of Reliving the War. My God. The 26th of April, 1999. Tonight we've got Raw coming from Hartford, Connecticut, while WCW Nitro takes place in Fargo, North Dakota. It's the night after WWF Backlash, and you know the drill. Make sure you watch the Reliving the War Backlash video before continuing on here. There's a lot going down this week on both Raw and Nitro, and we kick things off on TNT by visiting the Central Florida Mental Institute. Yes, ladies and gents, WCW are using the mentally unwell to entertain you this week on Monday Nitro. The staff are discussing Ric Flair and how he disrupts the whole ward, so the decision's made not to show Nitro to the other patients. It'll cause way too much trouble. The reason why all these people are in here is because they watched Nitro over the past year, and the last thing they need is more mind-bending bollocks. In walks Ric Flair, styling and profiling in his robe and his gator boxer shorts from last week, and Ric's here to party. He dances with a nurse and he tells everyone that Nitro will be on the TV tonight inside the mental institute. Now, just to make things perfectly clear, I absolutely despise this angle with every fiber of my being. Making light of any kind of disabilities low, it's very cheap and it's incredibly gratuitous, especially in a pro wrestling show. Even if it's done in a very over-the-top manner, it's still unnecessary. But I will say this, this guy right here is so ridiculous with his acting that he almost steals the show. I say almost because he's got some stiff competition in the nature boy Ric Flair. We'll be checking in with Ric throughout the show. Let's go back to the arena and see what's happening in our number one. Before Nitro went on the air, a graphic was shown for Ravishing Ric Rude. Ric passed away on April 20th, 1999, at only 40 years old. The cause of death was heart failure. Ric gave Monday Night War fans a moment they'd never forget when he appeared on Raw and Nitro on the same night, but more than that, he was an excellent in-ring performer and showman. The phrase, often imitated, never duplicated, comes to mind when I think of Ravishing Ric Rude. JJ Dillon informs Charles Robinson that he's in control of Nitro tonight. Robinson is the vice president of WCW, apparently, and that means Lil Nate is calling the shots. What's happening to this company? Robinson gets reassurance that he's above the WCW commissioner. Charles is the top dog tonight. And speaking of the commissioner, Roddy Piper makes his way down to the ring to cut a promo. Piper says Ric Flair's fitting in quite well at his new home. He also says the Hot Rod's in control of Nitro tonight, which completely contradicts what JJ Dillon told Charles Robinson. And Piper wants to make a few announcements before taking himself off. Firstly, Randy Savage has been reinstated. He and Gorgeous George are welcome to attend Nitro tonight. Scott Steiner thinks he's a madman, so Big Papa Pump's going to defend his US title against the Macho Man Randy Savage tonight on Nitro. And before Piper can decide what should be done about DDP, the World Heavyweight Champion makes his way down to the ring. Roddy puts DDP over, saying he came from nothing and now he's on top of the world, but Piper also knows that Page is a fighting champion. Roddy Piper wants to see DDP versus Sting for the World Heavyweight title. Dallas again denies Sting a shot at the gold, so Piper decides to enforce the match and he announces DDP versus Sting's going to happen at the beginning of our number 2 of Monday Nitro. DDP's not impressed, but the fans love it. Is it a desperate move from WCW to put on a World Heavyweight title match just as Raw's about to go live? Absolutely, but it shouldn't surprise you either. Bryan Adams took on Conan in our Nitro opening match, and just when K-Dog was about to make Adams tap out, the NWO interfered. Stevie Ray, Horace Vincent and Scott Norton gave Conan a beating in the ring, and hey, at least the NWO's on the same page for a change. Not that I, nor anyone else, cares a single bit. Schiavone tells us that Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit attacked Saturn and Billy Kidman earlier on today. Those boys are receiving medical attention right now, so Raven has to face the Armstrong brothers all on his own. Raven did well to keep the Road Dogg's brothers in check, and it looked like he had it all under control, but a chair shot to the back allowed Steve and Scott to score a pinfall victory. Schiavone called this an upset, even though it was a 2-on-1 match. Ric Flair phones Charles Robinson and he orders him to have Roddy Piper arrested. Robinson says he's gonna take care of it, and Ric then chases after a nurse who would become known in WCW as Asia. No relation to China, but you can see what they were trying to do here. Charles Robinson walks down to the ring. He says DDP versus Sting will happen, but he needs to address Piper. And Piper shows up again to remind Charles that Gorgeous George took him out during last week's Nash vs Flair match. Robinson gives Piper a gift from Flair, a slap in the face, and before Piper can retaliate, JJ Dillon walks down to the ring with the boys in blue. Piper gets handcuffed as Charles Robinson goes absolutely insane, and you know what, fair play to him, he's playing the part perfectly. He says Roddy's fired, but he's still going to face some consequences when he meets Flair in the ring at Slamboree. Piper gets taken away while Charles screams that he's in charge and not the Hot Rod. And yeah, gotta say, I'm impressed with Charles Robinson here. Who would have thought Lil Nate had it in him? Absolute insanity to kick off Monday Nitro, and I already feel like I need a rest. But we've got so much more to check out this week. So much more. The Rock cuts a promo to open up Raw while WCW presents DDP vs Sting for the World Heavyweight title. The Great One walks down to the ring and he's just about to give Stone Cold credit for his victory last night, but he decides to call Austin a piece of trash instead. Rock says he kicked Stone Cold's ass last night, he still walked out of Backlash the People's Champion, but Rock had a problem at the pay-per-view, and that problem was a, quote, 200-pound piece of stinking, steaming monkey crap named Shane McMahon. The Rock told Shane not to interfere last night, Rock had it all under control, but before Rock can say any more, Shane and the new corporation make their way down to the ring. Shane said he handed Rock the WWF Championship on a silver platter, but Rock just had to entertain the millions and millions of fans. He had to go on commentary, he had to grab a camera to play up to the audience. Rock could have been champion, but he's standing here tonight as a loser, and it's Rock who's a piece of steaming, stinking monkey crap. Rock takes off his shades, he says the Brahma Bull's gonna take his sharp horns, turn them sideways, and stick them up the Boy Wonder's candy ass. Shane says Rock better take his attitude elsewhere if you smell what the boss is cooking. And when Rock threatens to beat Shane up, Triple H gets in a cheap shot, and yeah, there you go, the Rock's turned babyface. China gets involved too, but she ends up getting smacked in the mouth, and so the corporation jump Rocky, and Shane gets a chance to choke the People's Champ out with Boss Man's nightstick. Shane then announces that the Rock's been fired, but when the corporation walk back up the ramp, Rock challenges Shane to a fight tonight on Raw. Shane lets his pride get the better of him, and he agrees to this match, and the fans chant along when Rock asks if they smell what the Rock's cooking. We all knew for a very long time that this was coming. Now it's time to see if Rock can become the company's number one babyface. Jim Cornette's here tonight in place of Jerry Lawler. Jim Ross wonders what happened to Stephanie last night after Backlash went off the air. And we then cut to Vince McMahon, who tells his stooges he's brought the papers Undertaker asked for. It appears that Vince is about to hand over the company to get his daughter back. Patterson wants Vince to call the cops, but McMahon says he's gonna do what the Undertaker wants. So let's sit back and see how this all plays out. DDP vs Sting, a world title match to kick off our number 2 of Nitro. What a time to be alive. DDP gets knocked out of the ring following a shoulder block. He gets back inside and he trades blows with WCW's icon as the crowd goes nuts. Sting once again gets the better of the champion, Dallas takes a timeout, and when the match resumes, Dallas gets in a cheap shot after a clean break. Dallas shows more heel tendencies when he pulls Sting by the hair before stepping outside the ropes. The Stinger follows the champ out, DDP gets rocked a few times before getting sent back inside the ropes for two consecutive clotheslines, and there it is, the Stinger splash. Sting immediately goes for the deathlock, but Page makes it to the ropes. The champ goes back to the outside where he wastes more time shouting at fans and spitting water all over the place. Things then get a bit scrappy as Dallas tries to apply a hammerlock, and when DDP goes for the diamond cutter, he's sent straight back to the outside. Page has had enough. It looks like he's no match for Sting tonight, so he walks back up the aisle, and as always, the challenger stops the champion in his tracks. Page gets destroyed right here, with Sting utilizing the guardrails and exposed floor to his advantage. DDP doesn't get in any offense as the two head back to the ring. He gets desperate and he hits a low blow before dropping Sting on the top turnbuckle though, and Dallas is full of confidence after hitting Sting with a back suplex. That confidence gets wiped out with a hard shoulder block from the challenger. This gets followed up with an inadvertent headbutt to the dick. Page replies with the only thing you can really do in this situation. He assaults Sting's chin, and this weakens Sting so much that DDP is able to hit a swinging neckbreaker and a few elbows to the midsection. The champ's looking a lot better as he delivers a few right hands. He tries to use the ring post to do more damage, but this backfires and Page gets sent into the guardrail. When he gets back inside the ring, Sting delivers a few inverted atomic drops, and Sting takes to the skies with a big splash to DDP. Say what you want about this match getting put on so early, but this has been pretty good so far. Page gets the advantage on the outside, but back in the ring, it turns into a standard back and forth affair, with DDP getting his head rocked on the turnbuckles and Sting falling victim to a sit down powerbomb. Sting comes back with a pile driver that looked a little sketchy to be honest, but DDP kicks out of the follow up cover. They try this spot again with a few reversals thrown in for good measure, but again, it's DDP who takes a pile driver, and the crowd can't believe it when DDP kicks out. Page gets sturdy, he hits a low blow, he then goes for a diamond cutter, but Sting walks out of the corner and Page takes a scorpion death drop. 1, 2, 3, holy shit, Sting wins the world championship on Monday Nitro. This was unexpected for sure. You're kind of waiting for Charles Robinson to run down and reverse the decision or something, but no. Instead, Ric Flair calls Charles and he tells him to book Sting versus Goldberg for Slamboree. I can't imagine Kevin Nash being too happy about that. So Sting beats DDP clean on Nitro, and we have a new world champion in WCW. The match was great, one of the best Nitro matches ever in my opinion. It's just really surprising to see the belt change hands in the middle of the show. It feels like reliving the war should end right here, but we're only getting started. X-Pac and Kane defend their tag team titles against Edge and Gangrel next on Raw. On Nitro, it's Rey Mysterio versus Psychosis. Rey and Psychosis had an impossible task right here, and WCW knew it too. So what did WCW decide to do? What was the great plan to keep viewers engaged in Monday Nitro? How about back-to-back title changes? Yeah, that's right. Psychosis, who only won the Cruiserweight belt last week, drops it right back to Rey Mysterio in this matchup. Malenko and Benoit showed up to intimidate Rey, but not only was Mysterio able to take out the Horseman, he also won the Cruiserweight belt following a tornado DDT. After the match, the Horseman attacked Rey, and remember, they also took out Kidman before Nitro went on the air, so Mysterio had no backup. WCW are trying everything and anything to beat Raw tonight. It feels incredibly desperate to do this much hotshotting the moment Raw goes live on the USA Network. I don't want to spoil anything here for viewers who have no idea what happens later on, but trust me, it gets even worse than this. On Raw, X-Pac found himself in trouble when he missed a standing Bronco Buster on Edge, as is tradition, and he also fell victim to a power slam from Funky Vampire Gangrel. In no time at all, Kane comes into the ring to destroy everything that moves, and even Christian ends up getting brought in for a little punishment. X-Pac hits a Bronco Buster on Gangrel, he kicks Edge in the head, and this leads to a chokeslam from Kane. The tag team champions win in the Raw opening match. JR says X-Pac and Kane are going to defend the tag team titles against the New Age Outlaws this Thursday on broadcast television. The pilot episode of SmackDown happens this week, folks, and I've already covered it on the channel. There's no point in doing it again. I will briefly go over some results next week though, where necessary. After the match, the Brood show they have massive balls by giving Kane a bloodbath. This makes Kane freak out and he chokeslams his own tag team partner, but we'll come back to Kane and X-Pac a little later on. The Horny Taker gives Vince McMahon a call. He says Vince knows what he's got and Vince knows what he wants. McMahon says he's brought what The Undertaker demanded, the dead man now has a controlling interest in the company, and Vince wants Stephanie back right now. The Undertaker tells Vince to bring the documents to some random hotel and then he'll get his precious daughter back. But if Vince slips up, well, Stephanie's gonna be in deep doo-doo. Even worse, The Undertaker wants Steve Austin to deliver those documents. Vince knows Austin will never agree to this, but the Phenom says that's a Vince McMahon problem. Hope you like promos. Stone Cold Steve Austin on Raw, Big Sexy Kevin Nash on Nitro. As expected, Big Kev isn't happy about the Slamboree main event getting changed. He heard from one of Charles Robinson's little stooges that Goldberg's now getting a title opportunity, and I find it funny that Charles already has stooges after being in his role for just over an hour. Nash thinks people have forgotten that he was next in line for a title shot. Big Sexy sure hasn't forgotten. So seeing as there's a bit of a mix-up in regards to the world title picture, Nash proposes another title match for tonight's main event. He wants a four-way dance, a way to settle this once and for all. Nash versus Goldberg versus DDP versus Sting. Big Kev has his gear in the back, all the other guys have to do is agree to the match. Ric Flair phones Charles Robinson and he says he loves the idea. Charles should do what he can to get that match booked. And after the phone call, Flair shows Asia a few of his sick wrestling moves. I swear to God, I don't even know what I'm watching anymore. On Raw, Steve Austin isn't sure what The Rock was talking about earlier on. As far as Austin sees it, The Rock got his ass kicked last night at Backlash and Austin was able to reclaim his precious smoking skull belt. Before Stone Cold can continue on, Vince McMahon shows up and he has a favour to ask Austin. We know where this is going. Vince says this is deeply personal. He understands that he and Austin will never be on the same page and they don't like each other, but The Undertaker has his daughter and Vince needs Austin's help to get her back. Stone Cold says he's got 99 problems and Stephanie ain't one, hit me. He tells Vince to hit the bricks because Stone Cold has absolutely no reason to help this bastard out. Vince must have a very short memory. He tried to make Austin's life a living hell over the past 15 months and he done a great job of it too. Austin wants Vince to confirm that he needs Stone Cold. Vince says yes. So Austin says he needs Vince to kiss his ass and that's the bottom line. Austin has no desire to help his boss, even with this very personal matter, so McMahon's gonna have to give The Undertaker those documents himself. He knows this isn't what The Undertaker wants, so it looks like Stephanie McMahon's in a lot of trouble. Surprise me, WCW, blow my socks off with what you have planned next. Ah yes, Eric f***ing Watts versus Bam Bam Bigelow, that's just absolutely fantastic. On Raw, it's D'Lo versus Val Venus. The absolute state of this hurricanrana from Watts, look at it, let's say it again. I could do better, you could do better, your pet fish could do better. Watts gets turned inside out with a clothesline, he then falls victim to Bigelow's diving headbutt. Eric gets some greetings from Asbury Park and Bam Bam wins via pinfall after 1 minute and 11 seconds of action. Eric Watts just came to Nitro to pull off that hurricanrana. Congratulations, absolutely sublime work. On Raw, the D'Lo vs Venus match was a standard back and forth affair, nothing really to talk about in terms of action in the ring. And just on that note, we're now well in the era where storylines and promos take center stage. Reliving the War won't be focusing on in-depth move-for-move commentary like it once did, but proper match analysis will be given for the bigger showdowns that happen every week, plus the pay-per-view coverage is going to remain the exact same. Weekly Raw and Nitro shows now focus way more on angles and promos, so this weekly show has no choice but to change accordingly. D'Lo hits a big superplex, but Venus turns it around and it looks like Val's about to score a win. Nicole Bass walks down the ring and clearly Big Nicole wants some of the Big Val Boski. She probably has no idea about Val's previous escapades with women in the WWF, but in saying that, Nicole could probably beat the crap out of Val if she wanted to. The distraction allows D'Lo to hit this great looking sky high and Venus gets pinned. After the match, Ivory tries to attack Nicole, but that doesn't work out too well. Venus runs away while looking genuinely terrified at what he just witnessed. Nicole looks pretty determined though, and Val better sleep with one eye open tonight. Next up on Raw, it's Billy Gunn vs Triple H, while over on Nitro we get a Sting promo and a Booker T vs Ming match. Mean Gene wants to know what Sting thinks about this challenge Kevin Nash laid out earlier on, and Sting repeats what he said last week. He's back in black. The new world champ understands that Kev wants a match tonight so there's no whining going on in the back. So Sting says yes, he agrees to put the world title on the line tonight in the main event. The four-way match is on and there's no way Sting was going to say no to this title defense. Gonna look pretty stupid if you drop that belt later on though, eh Stinger? Booker T versus Ming takes place next on Nitro, the TV title is on the line, and don't worry, the belt does not change hands. Amidst all this chaos in WCW, all this panic that emanates from our TV screens, we can always rely on Booker T to just come out here and put on a wrestling match. Thing is, Booker's caught up in this whole business with his brother and the NWO since, I don't know, the day Stevie Ray decided to join the NWO, and once again Stevie Ray interfered in this match to give Booker the victory. The referee takes a bump just before Booker delivers the Harlem sidekick, the ref's out cold, and as Booker tries to revive him, the Minger applies the Tongan death grip. Stevie Ray then shows up, he whacks Ming with his slapjack unbeknownst to Booker, and the TV champ wins the match via pinfall. It gets a bit more interesting when Rick Steiner runs down to attack Stevie Ray, and Booker T pulls Rick away from his brother. Clearly, Booker wants to help a family member out, but maybe Rick doesn't see it that way, who knows, but at least it's something different in this never-ending storyline. Before the Raw match, Billy Gunn made an interesting comment. He says, "Mr. Ass doesn't fail, and it's up to him to teach Triple H a lesson correctly." Road Dogg's a bit taken back by Billy's words here, so it looks like DX is going to end up even more fractured in the very near future. Billy also debuts his new entrance theme here, the masterpiece that is Ass Man, and this will forever be one of the greatest entrance songs of all time.
I'm an ass man!
Triple H, meanwhile, is slowly transforming into the Cerebral Assassin. You can see it more and more with each passing week. The two take turns beating the hell out of each other in the corner before Hunter performs a takeover and Billy lands on his knee. Hunter then focuses on what looks like the re-injured body part with ring post shots followed by a chop block, and for the whole middle portion of the match, it's nothing but Hunter staying on Billy's knee. Cornette says this is just like last night when Hunter remained laser focused on X-Pac's neck. It would appear that picking a specific body part to wear down might be Hunter's new game plan moving forward, and he is having some great success here as he delivers a figure four after nailing Billy with a facebreaker knee smash. Earl Hebner and Triple H argue when the referee notices Hunter trying to cheat. This gives Billy a break, and he does remember to sell the knee after delivering a power slam. The match then goes to the outside where China's able to ram Billy into the ring post, and this prompts Road Dogg Jesse James to run out to help his partner. China stops Road Dogg from getting near the ring, Triple H wins the match after hitting a pedigree. So just like X-Pac last night, Billy Gunn has failed to take out Mr. Hunter Hearst Helmsley. These DX boys are looking a bit shit right about now. Speaking of X-Pac, Kid's walking about backstage looking for Kane. He wants answers as to why his partner attacked him earlier on. And over in the corporate dressing room, Shane McMahon's getting Test and Bossman ready for their tag team match that's coming up next. Shane whispers something in the Bossman's ear just as Test walks out of frame, so let's see what these no good stinking hyenas are up to next on Raw. On Raw, it's Test and the Big Boss Man versus Big Show and Mankind. On Nitro, we get a Hollywood Hogan medical update, brother. The fabled Dr. Andrews of Birmingham, Alabama basically tells us that Hogan's knee's completely wrecked. A tear on the outside knee cartilage meant Wood from the Hood needed surgery ASAP, and Dr. Andrews is surprised that Hogan was able to wrestle for as long as he did with this injury. Hogan tells Bischoff that this is a mistake, DDP needs taught a lesson, and Hollywood should really be taking care of Dallas before taking care of his knee, but Bischoff tells Hogan the page will always be in WCW and Kevin Nash is going to make sure DDP gets what's coming to him. Hollywood shouldn't risk his career when his knee could get fixed up right now. He'll be out for a while, but he will come back better than ever. And Hogan says, and I quote, "This almost works for me, brother." Hulk really wants to get his hands on Dallas, but he accepts his fate and he goes to get his surgery. We then see Hogan getting his ass wheeled into the operating room, and look, NWO for life, brother, my god. He says once again that he's coming for Paige before going under the knife, and then we hear from physical therapist Kevin Wilk. Wee Wilkie says here that Hogan's the kind of guy who's going to push himself in training to see how far he can push his body post-surgery, and that, my friends, could spell disaster for Hollywood. Basically, this guy has no idea how Hogan's going to fare after his rehabilitation's complete. So fingers crossed Hogan's going to be okay, brothers. God knows this company can't survive without him. On Raw, things don't go well for the corporation at all. Mankind beats the crap out of Test, and Bossman looks angry when the big man tags out. Bossman then gives Test a free shot at Foley, but he's unable to take advantage. Test again tries to tag out and Bossman turns his back on his partner, but the Bossman is happy to tag in when Test wasn't expecting it. Bossman is able to do a little damage to Mankind, but it's not a terrible lot. The two competitors bump into each other, which would usually lead to both men crawling to their respective corners to make a hot tag, but Bossman does not want any help from his corporate brethren. So in comes the Big Show to destroy Big Bubba, and now the Bossman wants the tag out. Big Show forces Test into the ring, he signals for the chokeslam, but Bossman comes in with a low blow. The Big Show pulls off a huge double clothesline, and just like last week when Triple H sacrificed Test, the Big Bossman throws his partner into Big Show before trying to run away. Show hands Test over to Mankind before chasing after the Bossman. We see the double arm DDT from Mick Foley, Mr. Socko then makes an appearance, and Test gives it up. The corporation lose on Raw's War and they argue after the match. Test throws the first punch and Bossman repays his partner by hitting him on the back with his nightstick. It definitely feels like the corporation's coming to an end right now, or we're looking at another evolution of the stable, so you might want to check out that SmackDown pilot video I put together a while back to see where this all goes. Mr. McMahon's pacing around while waiting for The Undertaker backstage. Steve Austin sees Vince on a monitor, but it looks like Austin's in no rush to help his boss. We then cut over to Hardcore Holly beating up Al Snow. These two had a fun hardcore match at Backlash last night, but clearly the score hasn't been settled. Holly steals Head and he tells Snow he'll get Head back once he gets a rematch for his hardcore belt. We see inside the home of Beaver Cleavage next. Headbanger Marsh plays the role of young Beaver and he's complaining about his dry cereal. His mum wonders if he wants some of mother's milk, and that's how it ends. World champion material right here, folks, unreal. Speaking of world champion material, Ric Flair tells Charles Robinson to make tonight's Nitro main event a no DQ match, and while he's at it, Charles should also book Rick Steiner versus Booker T for Slamboree. Rick's little buddy, who Flair named Triple A, definitely liked these ideas. Rick hangs up the phone, he goes back to Nation with his new friends, and for reasons completely unknown, Scott Hall walks in the frame and he throws his toothpick at Flair. I think the writers were taking acid when they wrote this show, I really do. But we've got a guy who was legitimately high on LSD over on Raw later on, and no, I'm not joking. Next we have Double J versus The Godfather on Raw, plus Bradshaw versus Ken Shamrock. On Nitro, Horace versus Brian Knobs versus Hardcore Hack versus Mikey Whipwreck. Are you actually kidding me right now? Two fatal four-way matches during one episode of Nitro, two fatal four-way matches in the CMR, Brian Knobs, fucking Horace, it's a hardcore match too, so I don't know what I'm supposed to say here. The winner of this one goes on to Slamboree to face Bam Bam Bigelow, and the winner of the Slamboree match can then call themselves the King of Hardcore. I'm guessing they didn't have the hardcore belt ready or something, I don't know and I really don't care. Everyone used kendo sticks against Hack early on, and Brad Knobs then used a ladder to take everyone out. It's amusing to me that Brad Knobs can just walk into Nitro and get positioned as this god of hardcore wrestling. After a commercial break, we get the most amusing thing about this entire fiasco, and that's a surge container getting used as a weapon. I know, the bar's incredibly low here, and I'm ashamed to say the surge container was the most entertaining thing about this match. Whipwreck and Horace got to do some actual wrestling during this one, so that's a bonus. Meanwhile, Hack and Knobs fumbled around on the outside doing whatever they could to hurt each other. Hack also wrecked himself when trying to put Horace through a table, but he made up for it with a front flip off the top of the ladder and onto young Mikey. Brad Knobs wins the match after dropping the ladder on Whipwreck. So it's Brad Knobs versus Bam Bam Bigelow at Slamboree in 2 weeks' time. Knobs says, "The gates of Nastyville have been opened, so be prepared for a nasty sensation." What a complete tit. Speaking of tits, the Godfather's here with his Creatures of the Night, but Double J doesn't want a hoe, he wants the IC title. This was originally a non-title match, but Jarrett wanted to see if Godfather had the plums to put the belt on the line. The Godfather said yes, but there's going to be a stipulation. If Godfather wins, Deborah becomes one of his employees. I'm going to start calling her Deborah the Stipulation from now on. If I win, Deborah gets her bops out. If I win, Deborah becomes a hoe. If I win, Deborah has to clean my room for 30 days. She is now Deborah the Stipulation, and her mere presence makes all the difference in winning or losing. Double J takes a few clotheslines and he answers with a single arm DDT. Godfather then takes a leapfrog body guillotine before Jarrett struts around the ring. And just when Godfather falls victim to a Double J dropkick, Val Venus walks down to get a closer look at the stipulation. This distracts Jeff, but Double J needn't worry, because Nicole Bass is here to get a closer look at Mr. Venus. All this pervin leads to the Godfather beating Double J with a roll-up, and that means Deborah's now officially a hoe. But Owen Hart comes out and the King of Hearts takes Deborah away from the ring. This is going to lead to a scheduled match between Godfather and Owen Hart at the next WWF pay-per-view, but I'll talk a bit more about Over the Edge next week. The Shamrock vs Bradshaw match doesn't happen. Shamrock makes his way down to the ring, but he gets jumped by Farouk. The Acolytes do a number on Kenny Boy, and just as Cornette was saying, Shamrock has no friends. Test ends up running down to the ring to lend Kenny a hand. I think the WWF were expecting a pop here, but the audience remains silent as Test and Shamrock fight the Acolytes off. So Ken takes control and he starts wrecking furniture around the ringside area just to elicit a response. It doesn't work, by the way. Shamrock and Test, the new mega powers of WWF, the most unstoppable force to And here's a question, how would you like some meat? Terry Reynolds and Jackie introduce the WWF's newest superstar. He says, "This meat isn't done until you ladies are satisfied, and I can definitely predict a bright future for this up and coming jobber." We've got The Rock vs Shane McMahon next on Raw. On Nitro, it's Macho Man Randy Savage vs Scott Steiner. Throughout this chaotic episode of Nitro, I was still looking forward to Savage vs Steiner, but guess what, the match doesn't happen. Now, my immediate thought was the Macho Man wasn't cleared to wrestle yet, but he worked 3 house show matches against Ric Flair, and he also wrestles an 8-minute match against The Disciple on Thunder later in the week. Yeah, I know, The Disciple, remember that guy? So this Nitro match was seemingly booked just to piss people off. I know the WWF just did the same thing with Shamrock and Bradshaw, but Shamrock vs Bradshaw wasn't promoted as a big attraction match featuring the in-ring return of one of the all-time greats. Savage comes to the ring with George and Miss Madness, better known to you and I as Molly Holly. Why Savage is gathering a crew of female valets, I have no idea, but Scotty Steiner wanted 30 days with Gorgeous George if he won this match. So just like Deborah earlier on, George is becoming quite the stipulation herself. Charles Robinson wanted to referee this match, he tells Billy Silverman to beat it. We get loads of posing between Macho and Savage, and the crowd were on their feet for this one. The two lock up, Savage brings it to the corner, Scott shoves Macho Man, and Macho Man grazes the referee, and that's it over. Charles calls for a DQ finish, and Steiner wins on Nitro. Gorgeous George shows up while Charlie gets out of the ring, but Lil Nate gets kicked in the head by Medusa before getting thrown back inside the ropes. The women take Robinson's clothes off and he's wearing the same gator underwear as his hero Ric Flair. Everyone laughs at WCW's vice president, Scott Steiner walks away, and this also serves as the first time Team Madness got together inside a wrestling ring, that being Macho, George, Miss Madness and Medusa. Oh fuck, it says right here Shane McMahon with the Mean Street Posse, but literal gods Pete Gass and Rodney didn't come down to the ring with Shane O'Mac. I think we might have just got a little spoiler. Shane's absolutely no match for The Rock as the People's Champ lays the smackdown on the Boy Wonder, punches, kicks, clotheslines. After about a minute of action, the Mean Street Posse show up, and that means I can play this video again.
Have you ever had sex? I haven't felt great. It felt so good when I did it with my penis. A girl let me do it, it literally just happened. Having sex can make a nice man out the meanest. Oh, hey.
Thank you, I am very proud of that one. Both Pete Gass and Rodney take rock bottoms, and Rodney in particular takes it like an absolute champ. Shane then takes a rock bottom before Rock looks for a people's elbow, but Triple H interferes and that's the end of our match. Both Hunter and China beat The Rock up while the referee's kept in the corner by Pete Gass. Rock ends up taking a pedigree before the corporation leave the ring, so maybe we're looking at another Triple H and Rock feud heading into Over the Edge. Before checking out our main events, X-Pac comes to the ring and he wants to know where Kane is. Pac needs to know if Kane's with him or against him, but before he can get an answer, Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett attack Waltman from behind. Kane comes down for the save. He takes Owen out with a big boot and Jarrett gets chokeslammed. X-Pac then shoves Kane, still wanting to know what's going on. So Kane decides to chokeslam his partner in the middle of the ring. To show that there's maybe a bit of regret and no hard feelings, Kane picks Waltman up and he carries him to the back. He's a very troubled individual, is old Kane, isn't he? Lighten up, you big red bastard. Raw ends with the arrival of The Undertaker and Stephanie McMahon. On Nitro, it's the big four-way dance for the WCW Championship. The entrances on Nitro take nearly as long as the match itself. All four men eventually get in the ring, and then Nitro takes a commercial break. When we come back, the match is already underway, however DDP's nowhere to be found. Apparently he went into the audience for a little walk around, and he doesn't show up until Goldberg, Sting and Nash have roughed each other up a bit. While Page stays on the outside, Nash takes a single underhook suplex from Goldberg, while Sting takes Billy Boy's signature power slam. Dallas then decides to get in the ring with a cheap shot to Goldberg, but Big Kev makes sure DDP doesn't get a sneaky pinfall win. Former Wolfpack teammates Sting and Nash go at it while Goldberg hits Page with his snap swinging neckbreaker. The world champ's then able to hit all three of his opponents with Stinger splashes. Nash gets up and he hits all three of his opponents with big boots, but just when he's about to jackknife DDP, Goldberg makes the save. It gets a bit scrappy next with all four men trying to get in offense and no one's able to really gain any kind of advantage. Goldberg does drop DDP with a fallen power slam though, and Sting takes a sidewalk slam from Big Sexy, but there's no pinfall here, loads of pin attempts but no one can score a victory. Our match ends with a dazed Goldberg delivering spears to Kevin Nash and Sting. The world champ then gets lifted up for a jackhammer, but Macho Man Randy Savage breaks up the cover. I know, I've no idea what's going on either. Even more confusing is the fact that Macho passes DDP those brass knucks that don't look like brass knucks, but we'll call them brass knucks anyway, and Page wins the match after knocking Kevin out with a big right hand followed by a diamond cutter. There's no reaction to this at all. Fans thought they saw a historic moment earlier on when Sting won the belt, and indeed they did, but it's completely negated by another title change at the end of Nitro, and really, it was all for nothing. This has easily been the most hot-shotted episode of Nitro I've watched so far for Reliving the War. A fine example of a company in complete panic mode. And what makes it so incredibly frustrating is the fact that all WCW had to do was keep it simple. The roster's still amazing, yet they're suffering from poorly written shows with zero foresight. Stephanie begs The Undertaker to let her go, but that's not going to happen. She gets carried down to the ring on The Undertaker's symbol. And remember I mentioned someone being high on acid during this episode of Raw? Well, it was Midian. During this segment, this dark segment with The Undertaker and the boss's daughter, Midian was completely whopped out and he somehow managed to get through it all. Midian talked about this on the Road Dogs podcast, and I highly recommend you look this up because it's absolutely hilarious. But yeah, Midian said the lights were really pretty that night inside the ring. I probably would have freaked out and ran out of the building. The Undertaker says what's about to happen isn't his fault. He's been saying that a lot recently, hasn't he? This all rests on Vince McMahon's shoulders because McMahon didn't live up to his end of the bargain. Undertaker then tells Paul Bearer to begin the ceremony, and it sounds like Paul's going to oversee the unholy wedding of The Undertaker and Stephanie McMahon. Yeah, these two are going to get married. The horny Taker strikes again. Paul wants to know if Stephanie accepts the purity of evil, does she accept the Lord of Darkness as her spouse? And as Stephanie screams no, Kenny Boy runs down to the ring, but he gets taken out with a big splash. Backstage, Shane McMahon tells the corporation to stay put and only hit the ring if things get bad, but I don't know man, it looks like it's getting pretty bad right about now, you know. The Big Show then hits the ring and he does a pretty good job of taking out the ministry, but The Undertaker swings Shamrock's baseball bat and Show gets wiped out. The ceremony continues, Paul says these two are now together in an unholy union of darkness. The horny Taker goes to kiss his bride, but the glass shatters and Stone Cold runs out to save the day. Looks like the Rattlesnake has a heart after all. Poor Midian's tripping balls as he takes a Stone Cold Stunner, and look at this man. This is a man who has no idea where he is. Austin uses a steel chair to take out other ministry members while The Undertaker escapes. Midian takes a chair shot too and he gets tossed out of the ring, and Austin then unties Stephanie McMahon from The Undertaker's symbol. Stephanie gives her knight in shining armor a big hug, and when Vince hugs Stephanie, he can be seen saying thank you to Stone Cold. And Raw fades out as Steve Austin looks on at the reunited McMahons. Has Austin gone soft? Did he do this to help Vince or just because it was the right thing to do? Tune in next week to find out. Raw wins reliving the war this week, obviously. I said all I needed to say about Nitro, I think, and trust me, it's hard being so harsh on WCW because it's a company I still love to this day. Everyone likes to think Vince Russo was the problem when he arrives to WCW later in the year, and hopefully you now realise that WCW was already having severe problems before Russo took over creative. He didn't make things much better, but it was already a total mess when he got there. Raw's now on 93 points, Nitro's on 71, and we've got 19 ties on the board. In the TV ratings, Raw scored a 6.0 while Nitro dropped to a 3.9. Next week, Ric Flair arrives back to Nitro just in time to see another hardcore match featuring Bam Bam Bigelow, Hack, and some Surge Soda product placement. We have got Buff Bagwell versus Ernest Miller, and DDP once again defends his world title in the main event. On Raw, Mankind takes on both Acolytes in a 2-on-1 match, The Big Show faces The Undertaker, and DX continue to crumble when Billy Gunn faces X-Pac. Thanks for watching Reliving the War, thank you for continuing to watch Reliving the War after all this time, and hopefully I'll see you all next week. Take care, everyone.